Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here tonight, and I know that there are others around here that we're waiting for to take their seats, but we're going to get started, and we're going to open with a prayer before we do anything else. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness and for thy mercy, which has brought us here once again. We are so thankful for this opportunity to be in thy presence, and I pray, O God, that we would truly feel thy presence here tonight. Let thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us. Let us all feel thy Spirit. Help us, O God, and inspire us to reach out to thee in faith, O God, believing on thee, our Savior. And we ask, O God, that thou would bless this entire service, bless everything we do here tonight, let all that we do be pleasing in thy sight, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to start with number 115 in the chorus book tonight. I will enter his gates. Number 115. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he hath made me. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Praise the Lord. God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord, and we do have a reason to be glad tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to turn now to number 15 and sing "The Windows of Heaven Are Open," number 15. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God. Well, we are going to turn now to number 28 and sing "I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me," number 28. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Praise the Lord. God. Hallelujah. Well, I am thankful that the Lord did set us free, because you know what? Nobody else was going to do it. Praise the Lord. And we're going to open our hymnals now, our Melodies of Praise hymnals, and we are going to turn to number 54 and sing, Oh, Say But I'm Glad, number 54. There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away, oh, say but I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say but I'm glad. Wonderful, marvelous love he brings into a heart that's sad. Through darkest tunnels the soul just sings. Oh, say but I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say but I'm glad. We have a fellowship rich and sweet, tongues can never relate. Abiding in him is a real treat. Oh, say but I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say but I'm glad. Won't you come to him with all your care, weary and worn and sad? You too will sing as his love you share. Oh, say but I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say but I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad. Jesus has come
come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to turn down to number 85 and sing He Keeps Me Singing, number 85. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go, feasting on the riches of His grace, resting 'neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my keeps me singing as I go. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
God, thank you, Lord. We are going to turn now to number 71 and sing Joy Unspeakable. Number 71.
I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free as free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great o'erflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. It's such a wonderful thing that even though we live in a world that is so full of distressing things each and every day, we still have that joy of the Lord in our hearts. Praise God. And it's a joy that you can't really even explain with words. That's why it's joy unspeakable and full of glory.
You have to experience it for yourself to know what it is. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all Thy abundant love and care towards us, for all that Thou hast done for us, for how Thou hast kept us for all these years. And I pray, O God, that we would always be mindful of Thee, that we'd always look to Thee, O God, that we'd always seek to do Thy will. Lead this ministry by Thy mighty hand, we pray, and we ask, O God, for Thy blessing to be upon it. We pray, O God, we seek Thee, we beseech Thee, O God, asking, O God, for Thy leading hand. Help us to know what to do in the days ahead, for we know that the days are uncertain, but we know that Thou knowest all things. And we pray, O God, that Thou would give us the wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy holy name. We pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to sing one more song in just a moment, but before we do that, I do want to mention that we have some new brochures. I just received these. They were delivered from the printer today, and they have information about our church, and there's a welcome message, and our statement of faith, our beliefs are all on there, and we got a really nice deal on these, and I was able to design these and have them printed with this company online, and they shipped them to us. We're very excited to have this new tool, and anyone who's interested in having some of these, we do have plenty, and if you're listening online and would like a brochure or two or three or four or five, whatever the case may be, just let Jane know on the Mixler chat and she will send some to you. But we do have these available now, and hopefully they will be a wonderful tool that we can use. I know we've been having people walk in lately, visitors, and we just thought it would be so nice if we had something that we could give them, and now we do. So praise the Lord, and we just hope that the Lord will use those in a mighty way. But they are available, so if you'd like some, feel free to let us know, and we'll give you as many as you can use. Praise God. We are going to sing one more song before we turn this over to Shirley for the night. We're going to turn to number 93 in the hymnal, Oh, I Want to See Him, number 93. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice,
has all passed, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain height, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low. Guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, He doth safely keep. And He leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love Him so. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing. You know, right now, we can see Him through our eyes of faith, but a day is coming when we will behold Him face to face, and that will truly be unlike anything we've ever experienced. Praise God. Well, we are going to turn this over to Shirley for the night and see what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It is good to be here. I know we missed those services last week, and it, you know, it's really something here. You know, it was snowing furiously the other day, and today, you know, the grass is green, and we hardly need a jacket, and you know, what a change. But you know, maybe that just half illustrates a little bit, you know, here we are in this world, you know, right now, and you know, we know what it's like to have, you know, those moments where everything seems to maybe go right for a few minutes, so it seems, and then all at once it's back to a lot of trouble and just disturbances and, you know, agitations and all kinds of crazy things that we can't understand. And that seems to be life, you know, and you know, we'll pray through that one, and you know, it seems like that another bear will come along and we'll have to fight that. But you know, we just sang that song about being in the presence of the Lord. Oh, I want to see Him and look upon His face, that place where cares are all past and we are home at last. It's pretty hard for us to comprehend that fully at this moment, what that's going to be like to have all these burdens gone, all these troubles gone, all the pain and suffering and disappointments and, you know, heartaches of this world to be gone. and forever to be in the presence of the Lord and know somehow by His grace, by His mercy, with His help, somehow we made it there. You know, somehow He helped us, you know. Oh yes, picking us up at those times when, you know, we didn't even know if we could stand. But oh, God has been good, and we see His mercy, and we see His love. And you know, I think, you know, we're going to realize it all the more when we finally get home, and all these things are past. Oh, wow, we can forever be in the presence of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's kind of, oh, yes, as Brother Samuel said, you know, we get glimpses of it now, you know, we can. Oh, sometimes, you know, when the presence of the Lord comes down, you feel like you're there, only it's, not quite, can't see Him yet. You know, I know there's times that I'm praying and I just, oh Lord, just like, you know, you're here, but I can't see you, I can't see you, you know, and you just wish for that moment, you know, when we're going to be face to face and see Him as He is. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Let's pray here as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, again we thank You, Lord, that we could enter into Your presence, Lord. Oh, God, we know that in Your presence there is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore, Lord. We get little glimpses of that, oh Lord. These places where we can gather together and Your presence comes down, oh Lord. We get a little taste of the heavenly, Lord. But oh God, I pray that You would meet with us here tonight, Lord. Oh God, You know as we are. Oh God, You know our troubles. You know, oh God, our needs, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh God, that You would touch us, Lord. Oh God, that You would meet with us here tonight. Oh Lord, that Your presence would come down, Lord, that You would stir our hearts, and oh God, You'd help us to see those things that we need to see, Lord. Oh God, talk to us, Lord, and I pray that You would meet the needs of Your people. Oh God, that You'd minister to Your people, Lord. Oh God, and that these words would not fall to the ground, but Lord, that You'd use them for Your name's sake and Your glory, Lord. Oh, for truly this is Thy word, Lord. Ask, O Lord, that You would have Your way, Lord, and that You'd direct it, that You'd help us, Lord. Oh, God, that You would bind the heavy spirits, oh, God, and all the distractions, Lord, and the hindrances, oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord, that You'd, oh, Lord, that You'd rebuke those in Jesus' name, and oh, God, that You'd help us, Lord, oh, God, to be able to meditate upon Thy word, and upon Thy promises, and Lord, show us the things that we need to see here tonight. Show it to us, Lord. Oh, help us, oh, Lord, to get a greater glimpse of the heavenly, Lord, and the vision of what You would have us to do, Lord. Oh, God, in that walk that we must have with Thee, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name, oh, God, knowing that I need You, Lord. Now, oh, God, ask You to be here in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Where'd the mic go? Anyway, trust this is audible. Praise God. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to be opening up in the Word of God here tonight, and we're going to call this Occupy Till I Come. And, oh, I pray that the Lord will talk to us. Oh my, we are challenged in these moments. We are challenged. And you know, we can, you know, at times, you know, you can feel the confusion in this world. And you know, I know the devil is running roughshod. But yet, oh, thank God, greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. And by His grace, we can be more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So He's going to give us that strength that we need, and He's going to help us in these moments of time. Praise the Lord, but we need to occupy until He comes. Praise the Lord. Let's begin by going to a simple scripture here in Luke, the 16th chapter. Praise the Lord, Luke 16. And verse 16, praise the Lord. It says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Okay, we'll just stop there just a little moment here. And you know, it's talking about that time when there was a difference. Before Jesus Christ came, and even while he came, they were still under the law. And of course, with John's coming, there was a difference, because from the ministry of John and the ministry of Jesus, the teaching of the kingdom of God began to be taught. That's why Jesus came, one of his reasons, to introduce the kingdom of God. So we have that period of time, or you could call it that dispensation of time, prior to this, which was under the law. And, you know, Jesus is kind of mixing right here, because he was still under the law, but yet he's bringing forth this new dispensation at this time, that which would be that wonderful dispensation that we now live in, this dispensation of grace. But there was going to be a difference, even with the beginning of John's ministry, because he was going to bring forth the message of repentance, like none other had ever brought forth, I have a feeling. And of course, Jesus continued it. But it says, since that time that John began his ministry, the kingdom of God is preached. And it says, every man presseth into it. That word press is quite an interesting word. You know, we can think of it in so many ways. And if you look in the dictionary, it has a lot of definitions. But in this context here tonight, we're going to think of it as meaning to advance or to carry on with vigor. To advance or to carry on with vigor. And I'll tell you what, when Jesus brought forth the kingdom of God, he was introducing some tremendous changes from the law. And if we just kind of get a glimpse of some of them tonight, I'm just going to have you turn quickly to a few verses here so we can understand completely, or at least as best as we can with our human minds, what the kingdom of God is about. And here, if we go to Luke the 9th chapter for just a moment here, it talks about Jesus calling his 12 disciples together. And it tells us in verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So here, those 12 that he's ordained as his apostles, actually, he's calling them here together. And he's giving them the authority and the power that they needed. The Holy Ghost had not yet fallen, so they didn't have that privilege yet. But Jesus himself is giving them, the 12, the power and the authority to cast out devils and to cure diseases. And he's sending them forth to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Praise the Lord. Now let's just turn to the next chapter here and look at the first verses in chapter 10 of Luke. Because after those 12 went through their course here, in this 10th chapter, the Lord Jesus is appointing 70 to go forth and present the gospel, the kingdom, to those that they would meet. And so it says in verse 1 in chapter 10 of Luke, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And I see this as almost being like a forerunner. Jesus was going to hit the towns, all the various towns. His ministry was, it seems like, to go from place to place and present the gospel. And here he is sending these 70 forth first. And they're going to present it initially, kind of like an introduction, I would say. And it says in verse 2, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." And he told them in verse 3, "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." So here they were given the exact instructions that they needed to go forth. And you know, obviously, it was with the expectation that all their needs would be met. They didn't have to carry a great suitcase with them. It says to carry neither purse nor scrip, the little pouches where they would carry their money, or they didn't need extra shoes, and they weren't to, you know, waste a lot of time saluting people, because that saluting process was quite a procedure, as I understand. It would take a bit of time. But anyway, they were going to go, and then they were to, you know, at first you go to some place, and if you know the peace of God was in that place and they could enter it, they could remain there, and you know, with the expectation that their needs would be met, because Jesus stated that the laborer is worthy of his hire, and that was customary at those times. We know how Abraham, you know, when the angels came to visit him, only they looked at and appeared as men. And I don't believe he knew at the first they were angels, but he was very gracious to them and very hospitable, and you know, he provided for their needs. And I think that was customary for them when, you know, they would receive somebody into their home, that they would take care of those people. And so here they were given these instructions, you know, and just, yeah, go forth and do it. And, you know, your needs will be met. And they were to heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So here they were now, it's the 70 that were also able to participate in this wonderful program of God and introduce the kingdom of God to those that they would see, that they would meet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Jesus, in the 10th chapter, well, let's see, let's go to the 11th chapter. He was going through quite a dispute there in this 11th chapter with some of them, because one thing Jesus did that had never been done before was he was casting out devils. And, you know, there were many miracles that did come forth in the time of the Old Testament, but devils were not cast out at all. And here came Jesus, and that was one of the first things that he did. He began to cast out devils. And here we see it. If we look at the 14th verse here in Luke 11, it says that he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. Well, this is interesting, isn't it? There was an individual who obviously couldn't speak because of demon possession. And Jesus delivered him. He cast out that devil, and that individual was therefore able to speak. And the people are marveling. They're wondering, you know, this they had not seen before. But, you know, there's all kinds of thinking here, you know, and you've got those skeptics, and you've got the doubtful ones, and you've got those that are scornful even. And here you've got some in verse 15, it says, but some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Now, how pathetic, accusing Jesus of casting out devils through Beelzebub. Oh, I'll tell you what, that's pretty low. That's a pretty low blow. And then others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But praise the Lord, Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. It tells us in verse 17, but he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub? And if I cast by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. This was actually a ludicrous notion that they had here, even, you know, making such an assertion. But Jesus said in verse 20, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. And praise the Lord, this is what it was all about. He came forth to introduce and bring forth the kingdom of God. Those devils that were cast out, it was an indication that the kingdom of God had come to them. Oh yes, he was bringing forth the kingdom of God, and this was evidence. And here he was, he said, but if I with a finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Oh, that was a wonderful day, I'll say. Oh, I can't imagine how horrible it would be to be bound with devils. Oh yes, and not to have a normal being, and oh yes, to, you know, have that complete influence by those forces, and oh, have them running your life. But Jesus came to set us free, to deliver those who were bound. What a wonderful thing it must have been, oh yes, to those that, oh yes, had not known what it was like to be free before that moment. And then to be so gloriously delivered. Oh, what a wonderful joy it must have been. Praise the Lord. You know, just turning briefly here to Isaiah 49. It seems that it foretells of this wondrous thing that the Lord was going to do. It tells us in Isaiah 49, looking at verse 8 here. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. In a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. Oh, praise the Lord. And verse 10 says, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by springs of water shall he guide them. Oh, praise the Lord. But this was a wonderful day when Jesus came to bring forth the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, it was finally that time, that acceptable time, that day of salvation that had been prophesied. Oh, yes, that they had waited for so very, very long. But then it came, yes, that time when the fullness of the time was come, and God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, as it tells us, yes, in the book of Galatians. But here it is, that prophecy that it would be said to the prisoners, those that were bound, oh yes, they might be delivered to go forth those that were hiding in the darkness. Oh, yes, concealing themselves. Oh, yes, the Lord making them to be shown that they might be manifest, that they might be revealed, that they might come out. And praise the Lord, that's what the Lord Jesus did. He said to the prisoners, go forth to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. Praise the Lord, what a different day. What a difference it all made when Jesus came into the scene to deliver and to set the people free. Oh yes, then indeed they shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. The Lord restoring things, the Lord blessing his people with good things. Praise the Lord. But these were all part of the kingdom of God. And of course we know in the book of Romans, the 14th chapter and verse 17, one little verse that says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not physical, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Of course, they pondered that. They didn't understand what this was all about. The thing was, the Jewish people were looking for a physical deliverer. They were looking for somebody to save them from Roman bondage. But we know that's not what Jesus was about. And if we look here for a moment at the 17th chapter of Luke, we can see how Jesus dealt with that. Luke 17, and looking at verse 20. Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Oh, praise the Lord. This is something that they did not get at all, you know. I'm sure it was in their hearts that, you know, they, oh, yes, indeed, were looking for the kingdom of God, but they were thinking it was going to be physical. And it would come with observation that they could see it physically coming down. And, you know, they could put their finger on it. Oh, yes, those soldiers would march in and you know, dismiss the Romans and take over. And, you know, it would be a complete takeover from their way of thinking. You know, they would be able to say, lo, here, it's there, it's here, it's there. It'd be observable, they thought. But not so. Oh no, Jesus came the first time. Oh yes, to save us from our sins. Oh yes, to bring forth a plan that, oh yes, he would put his spirit, his kingdom within his people. And here he's introducing that. He said, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Of course, we know, going to the 18th chapter of John, when Jesus was before Pilate, in John the 18th chapter, again, this sort of thing came up. We look at John chapter 18 and verse 33. It says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? It must have been a puzzle for Pilate. Oh, yes, what in the world? Here's this man. You know, there was no, you think, nothing of him that was of guilt. There's nothing of him that was of shame. You know, you could tell it, I'm sure, even on his countenance. And so I'm sure Pilate was confused. You know, the own, Jesus' own people, his own Jewish nation had delivered him. The chief priests, the religious people had delivered him. But Jesus answered in verse 36, saying, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And you know, here it is, you know, it was that time of the Passover. And it tells us in verse 39, But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Oh, those demonic forces were so, emphatic at the moment. Oh, these people were so driven, and they knew not how. Oh, they didn't know what was behind this all. Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. But Jesus declared very clearly that his kingdom was not of this world. If it had been the case, then his servants would have fought, and he would not have been delivered to the Jews. But that's not what it was about. No, Jesus came to bear witness, as it tells us in verse 37 of the truth, saying, Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Oh, yes, he said, My sheep know my voice. Oh, yes, and they're going to come, and another will they not hear. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If we are of the truth, we know the voice of the shepherd. We know the voice of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Going also to another verse here, this time in Matthew, the 11th chapter. And this corresponds with that first verse I read from Luke 16, the 16th verse, but only it's presented in just a little different way. If we look at Matthew 11 and verse 11 to begin, Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Verse 12 explains, And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And I find, you know, the phrase kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God to be very similar. You know, kingdom of God could, you know, be the spirit of God that is within God's people. And the kingdom of heaven is likewise, you know, that which is yet to be known there when we all enter into that place. But it's very likewise the same here, very similar. But verse 12 says, And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Just as we read that everyone would press into the kingdom of God there in Luke 16, here it says the violent take it by force. The kingdom of God is suffering violence. It's talking about that upheaval that was within it. As Jesus Christ was coming forth and presenting the new covenant and bringing forth the kingdom of God and presenting it and teaching it, it was highly different from that of the law. Rather revolutionary, you could say. It was so different. But he was presenting it. And there was that time, yes, where they would need to press into it. Oh, yes, that they would take it by force, because it wasn't like it was just going to be handed to you. No, if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, you're going to have to do it with all your heart. You know, you're going to have to do some resisting. There's going to have to be something within you that's very determined. You're going to have to settle it in your heart that you're going to serve the Lord and Him only, that you're going to put Him first, that you're going to seek His kingdom first and His righteousness. And you know, there can be resistance, there can be opposition. And we notice these are words that are verbs. And you know, press and force here, they all indicate that there's some effort that is needed to be made to enter into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. You know, it just would come with a snap of the finger, but again, there would be some pushing, something internal. Yes, it might mean, if you're going to serve the Lord, that you might have to leave family, that you might have to leave home, that you might have to leave your loved ones, you might have to leave your neighbors. Who knows what might happen? There's a cost that needs to be determined. And yes, Jesus called that taking up your cross and following Him. Oh yes, denying yourself the things of this world and taking that cross that He gives us to carry. Oh yes, we don't know where it's going to lead us or what we're going to have to do, but we take it because we know that, oh yes, it's going to lead to eternal life. We know that it's part of being in the kingdom of God. We know that's part of pressing our way into the kingdom of God. Oh yes, in the way the violent take it by force. Oh, those actions that are needed. Oh, yes, that pressing that is needed, that determination that is needed to enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, these are words of action. Oh, yes, the violent take it by force. Oh, there are many that hurt Jesus. But often there were those that just weren't ready to really turn it over. They weren't really ready to take up their cross and follow Jesus. You know, if we turn here to the 9th chapter of Luke, it tells us here at the end of this chapter, if we look at verse 57 in Luke 9, it says in verse 57, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." In other words, he was trying to tell this man, it's not going to be easy. Following me isn't going to be easy. You're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. And you know, it may lead you where you don't want to go. Then it tells us in verse 59, "And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And I'll tell you what, it seems that Jesus was calling this individual to follow him, but he wasn't quite ready. He wasn't quite there. And, you know, he thought he would have to wait a bit to do this or to do that. And, you know, it was actually a way of procrastinating. He wasn't quite ready to follow Jesus at that moment. You know, I know how it was. You know, those 12 that followed Jesus immediately left. James and John, they were fishermen. Peter and Andrew, they were fishermen. And when Jesus called to them, they left their occupation. They left that ship. They left their father or whoever their partners were other than themselves and followed Jesus. They left it behind. Something in their heart was ready. Matthew, who was a publican, also when Jesus called him, he left that. He left that seat where he was sitting and he followed Jesus. He left it all behind. He was somehow ready. God had prepared his heart. But here, in this example here in the 9th chapter of Luke, this individual wanted to do these other things first. And it sounded, you know, it sounded credible. Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. In other words, wait until, you know, these other things are done. But Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. There are some things that can't wait. You know, here we are at the end of the world, and I don't know how much time we have, but if we're going to do anything for Christ, I think we better do it now. Some things can wait, but oh, there are some things that are very urgent. We don't know the day or the hour of our Lord's coming. Oh, yes, we know that he's coming as a thief in the night. He's going to come quickly. He's going to come suddenly. He's going to come unannounced. And all at once, it's going to be over. But praise the Lord, now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time that we need to go forth and occupy and take up that cross and follow Jesus. And it tells us in verse 61 here in Luke 9, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus knew he was putting it off. He wanted to do it, but he wasn't, you know, he just didn't quite have it all together yet, and he felt like he had to first go home. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, I'll tell you what, if there's that hesitation, you know, if we put some things off, we may never have another opportunity. We don't know, you know, a week ago yesterday, I believe it was, my next door neighbor man died. I never expected that. I was so shocked, you know. I came home and here there was a police vehicle in the driveway next to mine. And you know, I didn't know what to think. There was a police car across the street and you know, something obviously wasn't right. Oh, yes, I asked, is everything okay? And they just kind of smiled and said, it's okay, we've got it under control. Not really telling me at all anything. But yes, I discovered, yes, I saw them a little later carry out the body. My neighbor, you know, this man that I had known for all these several years, just like that, he was gone. We just don't know what tomorrow may bring. You know, all we have is the moment. And oh, I know if we have not yet given our hearts fully to the Lord, oh, it is time right now. Oh, yes, if we could just hear the voice of the Lord calling to us, oh, to make haste. Oh, yes, to put our hand to the plow now, to do those things that are in our heart now, and not to look back. Oh, yes, there are some that start from the kingdom of heaven, but look back. Just as Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Oh, yes, because, you know, it wasn't in her heart to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't in her heart. She still had a great piece of it back in her heart. She hadn't given it up. It was still there. And so it is. There's oftentimes people that, you know, they want to follow Jesus, but there's a big old hunk of the world still in their heart. And oh yeah, they want to be called a Christian, but yet they're still in the world. They're still doing things of the world and living in the world, even in sin. And so often people even make a start for the kingdom of God, but oh, something interferes, something discourages them, something sets them back, and they look back, they go back into the world. Oh, and how sad. Because, oh yes, there's a great price ahead. Oh yes, there's a wonderful blessing ahead for those that will endure unto the end, those that will follow the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, there's going to be a price that we have to pay. There's going to be opposition. Yes, we do need to make up our minds. Yes, we do need to take it by force. But by the grace of God, oh, yes, we can. we can go forward and we can serve the Lord and we can do His will. And we can be overcomers, knowing that one day we're going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus, be joint heirs with Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to be so worth it to see Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, these little tests, these trials, all this anguish of this moment is going to seem like nothing when we stand in the presence of the Lord and realize, hey, we've made it home. You know, all these things are past, these things of the world, these setbacks, these trials, these burdens, these cares. Oh, yes, all these things are gone. And now we're at home with Jesus. Oh, it's going to be so beautiful to be at home with the Lord and to be at rest in His presence. Praise the Lord. Let's go to another place in the book of Luke. Let's go now to the 19th chapter of Luke. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Luke 19. We're going to talk about another parable that Jesus taught here. Here in Luke 19, verse 11. And as he heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, just as we read in Luke 17 a few minutes ago. So he's going to tell this story here. He said in verse 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Okay, I'm going to stop here and just talk about this here a minute, this parable that Jesus told. And again, he's using this to illustrate the point, you know, opposing the thought that the Jewish people thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And of course, as observation and all, as we read in Luke 17. But here he's talking about this certain nobleman who went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then to return. And you know, we know that Jesus is talking about himself as being that nobleman. In this parable that he's talking about, he's illustrating how he himself had come to this world to receive for himself a kingdom. But you know, he wasn't going to receive it immediately. It wasn't going to come immediately as they had hoped, looking for that physical kingdom. But he was establishing it. He was establishing it in the days of his ministry. And then, yes, he was going to bring forth the Holy Ghost baptism. So now, yes, his spirit would dwell in their very beings. And then, oh, at the appointed time, he was going to return. So it tells us in this parable that he called his 10 servants. He gave them each a pound. They each were given a pound. There were 10 pounds altogether. And, you know, a pound was initially the weight, a pound weight of silver. And then later was like 10 and a third ounces as far as that goes. But regardless, he gave each of them a pound. And he told them, occupy until I come. Now, what was he telling them when he said, occupy till I come? He was giving them an assignment. He was giving each of them a pound. And he was asking them to invest that pound. One way or the other, however all it came to them, according to their own capabilities and talents, however they chose to do it. So they were to make a trade or do some barter or make some kind of exchange, make some kind of profit, however, some kind of investment. This is what he told them to do when he said, occupy till I come. He was telling them to invest in that pound that he had given them. And then it tells us in verse 14, his citizens hated him. Oh, they sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Oh, we know how Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. And then it tells us in the 15th verse, that day would be when he would return. Oh, it's, you know, we know, as it tells us in Acts, that first chapter, oh, Jesus before, well, he ascended, he had given them instructions and told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And oh, yes, as they watched him go up, there were two angels, two men in white apparel that appeared and said to them in Acts, the first chapter, verse 11, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Oh, that wonderful promise that, oh, just as they saw Jesus ascend into the heavens, he would one day come back. He would return in the same manner that he went up. He would come back. And oh, yes, we know how Jesus, yes. Oh, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, yes, those promises that Jesus made. Oh, yes, that he was going to come back. And here, yes, he had told these 10 servants, oh, yes, to occupy until he came back. And then, yes, those moments when he would come back. Oh, yes. When it was over, when it was completed. And sure as I'm sitting here tonight, oh, there is that moment that's coming forth. One of these days, again, as I said earlier, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but we know that our Lord is going to return to this earth. Oh yes, when he has received the precious fruit of the earth, as it tells us in James the 5th chapter. Oh yes, when he has received his people. Oh, and he hath long patience for it, doesn't he? Oh yes, when he receives the early and latter rain. Oh yes, he's going to come back. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, and he hath long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. But oh, he's going to come back. Oh yes, and there is many descriptions in God's word. But just turning here quickly to Mark the 13th chapter for a few verses to get one of those descriptions made clear here tonight. Mark 13. But in those days, oh, this is the 24th verse, Mark 13, verse 24. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. This is the description of the return of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Earth being greatly shaken. Oh, yes. And the sun darkened. Oh, yes. After the tribulation of these days that are even upon us now, the sun being darkened, the moon not giving her light, the stars of heaven falling, all the powers that are in heaven being shaken. And then, oh, yes. All at once that trump of God sounds. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, we see the Son of Man. Oh, we see the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And praise the Lord, as this all happens, he's going to send his angels. Oh, yes, and he's going to gather together his elect. Oh, yes, there's not going to be a secret rapture prior to this. No, this is how it's going to happen. At the very end, when it's all over, and oh yes, the sun is dark and the moon doesn't give her light, and oh, the stars of heaven begin to fall. Then, oh yes, Jesus Christ is going to appear. He's going to be coming in the clouds with great power and great glory. Oh yes, every eye is going to see him at that moment. And they that crucified him, oh yes, and then they're going to mourn because of him and realize, oh yes, this was the one. Oh yes, that they had rejected. Oh, this is the one that, oh, they hadn't given credence to. Oh yes, when Jesus had come to this earth to save from sin. Yes, and then, yes, he's going to gather his angels. Oh, yes, he likened it to putting into the sickle as it is described in other places in the Bible, including the 14th chapter of Revelation. He's going to gather his elect. His angels are going to gather his elect from the four winds, from all directions of the earth, from under the earth and above, all of them, all of us, gathered together from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Oh, yes, God calling forth his people. Oh, yes, to bring it all forth. And this is the referral to, you know, I could go so many other places, but I think I have not a lot of time left. Going back here to the 19th chapter of Luke, this parable that Jesus is telling there in that 15th verse here in Luke 19. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now it was accounting time. Oh, now it was time to give an account of the deeds that they had done. Oh, to know if you know, they had done the will of the nobleman. If they had occupied and invested, and now were they going to be able to bring forth? And as the parable goes on, yes, there was that man, the first, that the pound that he had been given had gained 10 pounds. And Jesus said unto him, "Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, verse 18, saying, "Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, "Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, "Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow." Oh, he was afraid. He was afraid to invest. He was afraid to occupy. Maybe he worried about what others might say, or he'd make a fool of himself and he'd do something stupid and he'd, you know, make a whole bunch of errors. Oh, that, you know, he was afraid. He didn't do anything. Oh, he went and took that pound that he was given and he laid it up in a napkin, in a cloth. He laid it up. And he had nothing to give back. He had not invested. He had not spent his life doing the will of the nobleman. He had not occupied. And he saith unto him, verse 22, "Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury?" There had to be some investment. There had to be something to give back. An investment was required. A profit was required of the master. And he said unto them that stood by, "Take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, "Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him." God is saying, oh yes, when he took us, you know, poor, wretched as we were, miserable in our sins, oh, worth nothing at all, nothing but filthy rags to give. Oh, when we came to the Lord, oh yes, needing his mercy, needing his grace, needing his salvation, oh, needing so desperately to be clothed with his righteousness so that we would not be naked. Oh yes, the Lord put it within us. He gave us an assignment. He told us to occupy till I come. Oh yes. Oh yes, it might not be easy, you know. We've got to count the price. There's a cross that we've got to carry. There's something that we got to do. Oh yes, there's something that the Lord requires from us. We want to have something to give back to him. He's going to look at us. There's an accounting day that is ahead. Oh yes, when we're going to stand before him and give an account of the deeds that were done in our flesh. Oh, there's going to be a need that we would have something to give back to him. In Romans 14, verse 10, it says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." The 11th verse of Romans 14, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Oh, Lord, help us. Turning just briefly here to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Looking at verse 9, 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Oh, yes, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we have been given an assignment. Oh, yes, when we came to the Lord. Oh, yes, when we repented of our sins. When we were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. When he filled us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, we were building our life on the rock, Christ Jesus. We were laying it on that foundation. Oh, yes, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And that's the foundation. Oh, based on, oh, yes, the prophets and the apostles and of that which has been taught that, oh yes, the kingdom of God that Jesus began to present when he came forth to minister and to give his life a ransom. Oh, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. See, there's an accounting day when we stand before God and give an account of the things that were done in our flesh. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. But yes, we have an assignment. Oh, yes, the Lord has put it within us when he called us. And what a privilege, what a gift it is. Oh, we are heirs of God. We are heirs of eternal life. We are joint heirs with Christ. And those things that he has reserved for them that love him. Oh, my, it's so beyond our comprehension. It's going to be so beyond what we could ever, oh, even think in our minds at this point. It's going to be so worth it to see Jesus, to just stand before him and hear him say, well done, oh, thou hast been faithful over a very little, but I'm going to make you ruler, you know, I'm going to make you blessed. Oh, yes, I'm going to reward you. Oh, yes, that great need, oh, yes, he put his spirit within us so that we could be a light, we could be that city that is on a hill that cannot be hid. That city that all can see, that light of Jesus Christ, that spirit that indwells in us, spirit that was in Jesus. Oh, that need for us to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, yes, the spirit that he puts within us, that investment that we make into the kingdom of God. But how sad, oh, yes, we don't want to be like that man that feared his master and was so afraid. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't speak, I can't witness, I can't give out tracts, I can't pray, I can't, oh, Lord, I can't. Just taking, you know, that which the Lord had given. He's given us all our own abilities. It's something that he has given each and every one of us that we can use, that we can invest, that we can give back into the kingdom of God. Oh, we don't want to be like that man. Oh, yes. That did nothing. Oh, didn't invest his time, didn't invest his money, didn't do anything at all, did nothing at all. And he knew, yes, his Lord, his master had said, I'm coming back, I'm going to come back. I'm not telling you when, but I'm going to come back, I'm going to come back. And then, yes, my expectations, you know, you're going to stand before me, you're going to have to give an account of things that were done in your lifetime. Oh, you know, it's Not always so much that it seems that we can do, and even little is much in the kingdom of God. You know, we serve a God who sees everything that is done. You know, even every little deed, every time we're down on our knees crying out for somebody else, every time we're passing out a tract or, you know, trying to help somebody, you know, bringing them food perhaps, or, you know, comforting somebody that's, you know, needs comfort, or, you know, helping somebody who's sick, even somebody in prison, all these things that we need to do, as it tells us in Matthew, the 25th chapter. All these things that we need to do to occupy, to invest into the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, this life is but a vapor. It's short. You know, we're here this moment, but we don't know about the next. And, you know, there's one thing for certain. There is going to be that day when we stand before God. And oh, how precious it is that we could invest, you know. I like how it was last summer. Brother Matt came here because he wanted to do something for God. He came and he spent his time, you know, doing all the yard work. We have a big yard here. And, you know, he spent the time mowing the grass and trimming the trees and all that sort of thing. He was investing in the kingdom of God. He was doing what he knew to do for the kingdom of God's sake. You know, and we have these things that we can do. You know, he wasn't asking for money. He wasn't asking for praise. And I know Brother Tim had come and done the same thing the summer before. You know, and you know, why were they doing it? I think there was something within. I want to do something for God. You know, my talents may be small, you know, but, you know, there may not seem like there be too much that I can do, but God will help us. Oh, yeah, we make that first step and get our foot in the door, and you know, it might be really awkward at first to hand out that tract, but I'll tell you what, God will help us. Oh, God will help us, and somehow it's going to get easier, you know. It's going to get easier as we do a little bit more and press a little bit more and occupy a little bit more and, oh, keep on doing this and doing that and the things that he puts on our heart to do. Oh, yes, those moments down at our knees crying out to the Lord. Oh, praying for those that so desperately need help and, oh, whatever all the Lord puts on our heart. Oh, that great need to occupy, to invest our talents, our time, our money, all the things that count, so that one day we have something to give back. Oh, yes, we didn't take that which the Lord had given us. We didn't take that pound and wrap it all tightly in this napkin and oh, yeah, we put it in a secure place, but I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it. But I'm not going to invest. I can't. I'm afraid. I'm scared. I'm going to make a fool of myself. Oh, I'll tell you what. No, God wants us to go forward. God wants us to do his will. Oh, yes. There are things that we can all do for the kingdom of God's sake. Oh, yes. And I know. Oh, there's that moment when he's coming back to visit. Oh, yes. We're going to stand before him. Oh, yes, that moment when every eye is going to see him. Oh, yes, said they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of him. Oh, yes, that great accounting moment. How we want to make a glorious entrance into the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, Peter wrote about it in 2 Peter. The first chapter, just to get a couple verses in here yet. 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, that's what we want to do, right? Oh, yes, we want to give our very best effort, give diligence to make our calling and election sure. Peter wrote, if you do these things that he wrote there in that first chapter of 2 Peter, you shall never fall. But you're going to have a glorious entrance into the kingdom of God, that everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, why? Oh, yes, because while you yet had time, oh, yes, while it was in your heart, oh, you did those things, you invested, you occupied until he comes. You did those things that he put deep in your heart. Whatever it was, to make a trade, to barter, to make an exchange, whatever. You got to have something to give back to the Lord. Praise the Lord, he knows how to make a way. Oh, yes, he knows how to make a way. So, yes, we can do his commandments. It says in Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city. Oh, praise the Lord. He said in that 12th verse in that same 22nd chapter of Revelation, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Oh, he's coming. He's coming. But you know, he's expecting us to occupy. Oh, yes, not to waste our time, not to waste our life, but to invest it in the kingdom of God, to do those things that matter. Oh, yes, to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that these things shall be added unto you, seeking the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Again, knowing that all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, yes, he's coming quickly. His reward is with him to give every man according as his work shall be. Yes, occupy until he comes. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our chorus books to number 159 and sing Seek Ye First, number 159. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Men shall not live by bread, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.